saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome back. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri. We are presented by PPV.com. Got a busy PPV.com summer because on June 27th, Deontay Wilder returns to the ring. The Bronze Bomber versus Terrell Herndon. And streaming live on PPV.com, I will be the host of the live interactive chat. So join me Friday night. Let's have a time. Maybe Chris will join. It's up to me who I let in. It's like the club. I hold the rope.
You're like the doorman. You're the bodyguard, the doorman. You're the host. This guy.
I got the rope. Are you on the list or not? Chris maybe gets in. Lance Pugmire maybe gets in. Some other
I'll put in my credential. I'll put in my credential, see if I get accepted.
Send them all over. Friday night, we're having a time. June 27th with the Bronze Bomber, who's looking to get a big payday, looking to get back into the heavyweight division. He needs a knockout first, I believe. He has to knock this guy out. If he goes the distance, that doesn't do him any good. Win's a win, though, but I really believe he has to win spectacularly. That's June 27th. We're closing in on 1 month until we head out to Vegas for Manny Pacquiao versus Mario Barrios, Fandor versus Zhu. That card is shaping up nicely. Gervonta Davis is coming back to fight Lamont Roach. He's been tweeting, and that's when you know that Gervonta's back, is when he starts firing off tweets, then deleting them. I saw a picture of him and Coach Kenny back together, which read into that however you want. So that fight is in August also on PPV.com. So busy summer for us at PPV.com. That's our proud presenting sponsor. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. Looking forward to these fights coming up. And man, boxing is alive and well. I was talking about that Gervonta fight. I mean, the Deontay Wilder fight real quick. Yeah, I agree, man. I think the knockout is necessary. But he doesn't even have to look good. If he just gets the knockout, boom, he steps right into another 7-8-figure payday. It's great to be a heavyweight.
Well, yeah, I think he wants that. The fight is Joshua. I think that's
That's the fight. I want that fight. Boxing people want that fight. It's always been a good fight, and even now they're both over the hill, so to speak. But so what? They're both there. It's not like one guy's young, one guy's old. Like, they're both older. They're both a little shop worn. I think it still makes for a good fight.
Terrell Herndon lost. He got stopped by Richard Torres in 2023. Since then, has reeled off 3 straight wins. He's been stopped a couple times. So he lost to F.A. Ajagba in 2017.
Which is like a poor man's Deontay. You know, even this version of Deontay. Big, tall, long, good right hand.
He fought Brandon Glanton.
Ah, it's a pro box guy.
Yep. So he's been in the ring with some names, none bigger than Deontay Wilder. Friday, June 27th. All right. So this past weekend, we saw some boxing. I was up in Boston watching my Yankees get swept by the Red Sox. Got back to the hotel.
The Red Sox.
I don't want to talk about it. It was bad. It was fun to go up to Boston, though. Boston's a cool little city. It's freezing out. Had really good seats. Had some steaks. I got a bunch of messages about the steaks saying, "Why isn't it black and blue?" Does Chris like, you know? So we got to get another steak review.
Not Chris approved.
Yeah. Boston was fun, but I did watch the main event. Richardson Hitchens stops George Kambosos. If you bet with me, you won. I thought that Kambosos wasn't going to be able to land anything, and he did not. I thought Hitchens was going to be able to jab his face off, which he did. It came down to, did Hitchens have that second gear? Did he have that killer mentality? Did he want to go for a stoppage? And he did, to the body. Great performance from Hitchens, man. He's a player now. I like this kid, and it's always good to have a player. He is a title holder, but we're kind of like, what's he all about? You know, does he have the knockout power, or is it just jab, jab, jab? Gets the stoppage. Understand it was a made-to-order opponent, but it's still a name in Kambosos. So I think Hitchens is now a player at 140.
Yeah, I mean, that's our New York brethren right there, Richardson Hitchens. So happy that he got the win. You know, first title defense, fighting the Garden, that's a dream come true. Yes, tailor-made opponent in front of him. I want to push back on something you said, though. He did not need to go to another gear. He stopped them in first gear because he didn't have to do anything. You know, he was just tattooing him with every punch possible. The jabs were nonstop. The right hands. He started landing right hands in the first round. I was like, oh, this is going to be.
He was timing
tough,
him nicely.
It's going to be a tough night. I mean, it's so easy to time. Kambosos literally fights in the exact range he shouldn't. He's a quote unquote inside fighter, but he's like standing in the middle distance, just getting tattooed by Hitchens' left hand. And Hitchens, bro, never got out of first gear, never got a breath, was in complete control. I've seen sparring sessions with him that were harder than that. But good on him, man. I'm going to eat some crow. I was like, all right, when have you seen him throw a body shot? And that's the only way really that
Hitchens.
Kambosos gets stopped is to the body, and Hitchens doesn't throw to the body. Boom, guy throws to the body, stops him.
First punch to the body, or one of the first.
First punch I've ever seen Hitchens throw doubled Kambosos over. The second one I've ever seen him throw puts him down for a 10 count. I mean, you can't make this shit up.
Yeah. When I say second gear, I meant like, I don't necessarily mean like literally going to another gear and just an onslaught. It was just like, Hitchens can do that 1-2 all day.
Yeah.
And he's so efficient with it that it almost becomes like a weakness of his, where a lot of fans, media members are just like, all right, we're not that high on Hitchens because he doesn't have a lot of power. And he's very content with these decisions. He's very content on doing a 1-2 defense, which will win you a lot of fights. The second gear I saw was him just laying into
he had Kambosos. No respect. He had no reason to have any respect. There was nothing coming back his way. Kambosos looks exactly the same size as he did at 135. Did not put on any weight moving up. Wasn't a big 35 pounder to begin with. Should be nowhere near 140. It wasn't explosive. He wasn't deceptive. He didn't try to use his jab. When he got inside, he didn't do anything. I don't even know what the game plan for Kambosos was. Because it didn't look like there was one coming in, one that was going to be effective. And then there was zero adjustments throughout. So, I don't know. Kambosos showed up, took a beating. Hitchens looks great, but did it without really showing anything new for us. Hitchens, I think, is really good, but he didn't need to show anything new or surprise us in order to do what he did.
He got a stoppage over a brand name, and it got the attention of boxing fans. He calls out Teofimo Lopez, who comes into the ring. He calls out Devin Haney. He mentions Haney and Tio's names and all these tanks' name all week long. He did it in his last fight all week long. And we were just like, I know for me, I don't want to speak for all boxing fans, but there was part of me that's like, all right, what's your deal, Hitchens? Like, what are you about? Like, I know you're going to call out all these other names, but like, what makes you special? And what makes him special is he has an elite jab. Like, that thing is, it's one of the best punches in boxing right now because it is just a stick. And he can, and he's in and out. He's very athletic. He's very big for 140. He's got a really long reach, and his timing is good. And most importantly, his defense is very, very good as well, which keeps him in every single fight. He landed, he's in the 50-50-50 club. He landed 50% of his jabs, power, and total punches, which is not done often. It's an exceptional
50% of your jabs is wild.
Yes, that's what I was talking with my dad. He said that's what makes it the hardest part is there's plenty of guys that land 50% of their total punches and 50% of power, but you always fall short of the jab. Like 40% jab is good, 35% you're considered elite, 30% you're considered good with your jab, 50% you're controlling the whole fight, and that's exactly what we saw on Saturday night from the opening bell was the jab, 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 and you're right. Like, I don't understand what Kambosos was doing in there. He was like, all right, I'll stand at the exact distance you want me to stand at, Hitchens, and I don't have much power anymore because I'm up there in age, and I'm also undersized, and I'll just stand here all night, and this is what I'll do. And it was just a completely horrible game plan from Kambosos. He's got this thing where everyone is just like, you know, he could talk. You know, I got killers on deck. Did you see that? Like, he can sell a fight like no other. And people still were believing in him, like questioning my bet, questioning my pick for Hitchens. And he's very, very good marketer, Kambosos. But it's shown now. Now he's talking about retiring, but we'll get to him in a second. But I think Hitchens is, he's legit, man. He's got a title at 140. There's some other names at 140 that he could fight, like bigger names like Haney or Teofimo. Matias is fighting Puelo. Gary Russell Jr. is hanging around there. Like, maybe Hitchens goes to 147. I thought he looked decent on the scale. And I'm just throwing out a lot of words right now, but
I think he's a
word. I'm not leaving you with much here. Words. He's words.
No, well, so listen, I'll put it this way. If he went out there and did what he's been doing to guys and just kind of shutting them out and controlling them from the outside with the jab, even if he hurt him but didn't get him out of there, there wouldn't be a buzz like there is now. The fact that he got the stoppage, as easy as it was, as easy as it looked, as bad as Kambosos looked, it matters. And now there's a talking point. You know, Hitchens scored a knockout over a name opponent. That's all. That goes on his box rec that he stopped a former 135-pound unified champion. So that's a big deal. And going forward, yeah, I agree with you. I think he's dangerous for everybody in this division. To me, it seems like it would be very easy to make that Teofimo matchup. They have the same manager in Keith Connolly. Teofimo has put himself in a really bad position with Riyadh and some of the other fights that are available to him. So kind of burning those bridges, not leaving a lot of other opportunities. Guess what? Richardson Hitchens might be the guy you get, and it's not going to pay you what you wanted, but it's a really dangerous fight. So I don't know. Tio might have put himself in a real bad position with how these deals fell through, and now he's going to be stuck with this 5'10", 74-inch reach jabbing machine for 12 rounds. So
yeah. Teofimo, you played yourself. Yeah. What's that sound clip? Because you went from boots to Haney, so potentially fighting Hitchens, and
potential 8-figure fights. That 8-figure's gone. There's no 8-figure for a Hitchens fight.
What's the problem with Hitchens? I think he's really good, but it was not a huge crowd. I'm just seeing a car just went the wrong way out my window. I don't know, one way.
That's New York shit right there.
What the? That just got my full attention. I live on a one-way in Astoria. Like, there's strict one-ways. This car was going the other way. Hold on. I got to stop for a second. There's a bunch of people outside. Hold on. All right, we're good. There's nothing going on outside. We can talk about this Teofimo fight. So Teofimo gets into the ring after, and he's at every fight, and he's sniffing around looking for fights. It would be hilarious to go from where he was at, Boots fight, Crawford. We've got to start with that. Crawford, Boots, Haney. Strike one, strike two, strike three. You get Richardson Hitchens, who's a tough out, very tough out. It could be made. Like you said, Keith Connolly is the manager of Hitchens and Teofimo. Teofimo looks like he's a free agent. He's wearing PVC hats. He's shown up to all these different events. I mean, it would be a unification at 140. You know, Teofimo is a smaller guy. Like, we've been over this numerous times. He's not a welterweight. The Haney fight is interesting, too, because that doesn't look like it's going to be at 140 either. Haney needs to figure out what he's doing. Is he giving up the belt at 140? Is he not campaigning any there? Is he a full-fledged welterweight? Because Hitchens called out Haney. Haney's dad was there shouting stuff out. And then Haney tweets, come to 147 and fight me there, which is kind of like lame. Like, you haven't even fought at 147 yet, Haney.
Right.
Like, you've fought Ramirez at 144. So, like, are you a full-fledged a welterweight? But I think Hitchens is in every fight with some of these bigger names. I think he's in all fights with the Gary Russells, the Matiases, the Puelos. I think he gives Haney issues. I think he gives Teofimo issues because he has a good jab, he has very good defense, and he's long. I think he's a problem for anyone.
Yeah, he's bigger than all those guys at 140. I think he's even bigger than Haney. Haney's taller, he's wider, cuts a lot of weight. You know, he's a young guy. He's making the weight, I think, pretty comfortably right now. Definitely struggles because he's just got that frame that's going to be difficult to maintain 140. But there's a lot of good fights for him there. And I agree with you. The top level guys, even the Teofimos and the Devin Haneys, I think that he is a competitive, at the least competitive, if not beat some of these guys. But there's also a lot of really tough fights in that division. Matias is still a tough guy to fight. He can always crack. He always comes to punch. He's durable enough. That would be a tough fight. You know, we saw in the Lemos fight that Hitchens has trouble with a guy who's just going to kind of throw caution to the wind, get to the inside and bang away at you. And that's kind of what Matias does. So that's a fight there. Barboza would be a jab match, but it's one of those fights where it's like, all right, Teofimo, you beat him this way. I'm going to beat him worse than you. Now me and you get it on. If you really go after that Teofimo fight. But again, if I'm Hitchens, I'm going after the Teofimo fight. That's probably the easiest fight.
Yeah, forget Haney. Forget Haney.
You chasing Haney isn't a great idea because you always put bargaining chips in their side, in their pocket. If you leave 140, you don't got the belt anymore. Now you're fighting a 47. That's Haney country. I know he hasn't fought there. It doesn't matter. He's going to have the upper hand on negotiating. So that wouldn't be a great move. But Teofimo, unification. I mean, that's what we fight for, guys. We win world titles. We want to win them all. We don't want just one. So that's the most obvious choice, I would think.
Yeah, Matias is fighting Puelo.
Which that's coming up. We don't know how that's going to go, but that's what.
Yeah, that's on the July 12th card. Yeah, that's a July 12th fight. Gary Antoine Russell, who I thought had low-key one of the best performances of the year this year.
Beast, absolutely.
And he just absolutely ran through El Rayo, and I don't know what's going
streaking, on. Streaking El Rayo, someone that was like really being touted as something to look out for.
Yeah,
smoked him.
And but I don't know with Russell. You can't depend on him to fight anyone. He once a year. I want to see him fight more. Yeah. So Hitchens is a guy now, and I'm excited for a Hitchens Teofimo fight. I just don't know if Teofimo is. That's a tough pill to swallow, and he's not one to blame but himself. I wouldn't say settle for Hitchens because it's still a decent size. I'd be a dude here in New York. I probably back at the theater. It would do good business. Not a pay-per-view fight. It could be like a DAZN fight or wherever they want to put it on. I like that fight. I like that fight a lot.
The problem over to, is, does T.O. price himself out?
Yes.
Yes. So does that fight really
happen? You don't have to speculate there. Yes.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. He prices himself out. He's the biggest wild card in the sport right now.
Well, to go from a guy who is brutally underpaid for so long to now being a guy who prices himself out, it's kind of a crazy switch.
Yeah, he's going to price himself out because he doesn't really want to fight, or he's just going to price himself out because he doesn't understand his own value. There's a number of ways this fight between Teofimo and Hitchens doesn't happen, because that's how you have to look at Teofimo right now. He's radioactive. You don't want to work with him. You just stay away. And I'm surprised because he has such a good manager in Keith Connolly. Another thing, too.
You can lead a horse to water, Dan. You can lead a horse to water.
Yeah, exactly. Connolly's probably like, what the hell?
I'm sure he's pulling his hair out.
This guy is crazy. He's got a nice head of hair, too, Keith Connolly.
He does.
This guy's Gordon Gekko.
Keeps it together.
Did you see this afterwards? Matias made it a point to say that, not Matias, Hitchens made it a point to say, I'm a free agent afterwards.
I saw some rumblings.
And Eddie got offended. Eddie does his slew of interviews afterwards. He says that, Hitchens is a good kid, but he's got dogs around him. And I'm like, all right, dogs around him. That's got to mean his manager, who is Keith Connolly, who also manages Teofimo, manages Lisa Bumgarner, manages Ben. And
been working with Matchroom as long as Matchroom's been here.
Right. And Connolly and Hearn have a great relationship. And Berlanga, they had a little bit of a falling out too.
Or do they?
That's the thing. There's clearly a falling out here. Something happened here because, Hearn wouldn't have said that. Hitchens wouldn't have made a point to say that. Berlanga made it a point in his last, his win in Orlando to say that I'm a free agent. I don't know. You can make of that whatever you want. So Hitchens may be a free agent. Maybe that fight could end up on PBC, like Hitchens versus Teofimo. Teofimo had that hat on. It could end up anywhere. Or they can just re-sign with Matchroom, and they can re-sign with – it's just negotiating. I mean, it's part of boxing, but it was an interesting little tidbit to come out of it. As for Kambosos, he's this is it for him at the elite level. If he wants to go fight domestically in front of his hometown fans, he absolutely deserves that. But I wasn't giving him much of a shot in this fight. You weren't either. I bet on the stoppage. A couple people questioned whoever rode with me. We made some money on Saturday night. The guy has fought. It's a great resume he's got. Teofimo, Haney twice, Lomachenko, Hitchens now, who's also a champion. I mean, you can't deny that at all. It's just a funny how it all works. Like, it's not every fighter is promoted equally. Like, I have no problem with him getting these fights and taking these fights. But my problem is, like, there's no merit. This meritocracy doesn't exist when it comes to Kambosos. He just kept getting shot after shot. And I was getting kind of tired of watching him in big fights because he's just never going to win them.
But also, great career. They weren't even good fights. It wasn't even like he was, like, competitive. It, like, the 24 rounds against Haney, he didn't win a second. He didn't win a second on Saturday night. Lomachenko beat the brakes off of him. Like, none of
who's half retired, Lomachenko.
Yeah, I mean, none of these fights were even exciting.
Maxie Hughes, I thought he lost. Maxie Hughes
beat him. I called that fight live. Definitely lost that fight. Should have lost that fight. But, yeah, I mean, his career should be studied because it's the new era of, like, social media. The look, the talk. I mean, I guess it's not that new of an era. It's always kind of been that way. You can talk your way into situations, but no one's done it better than George Kambosos. Not only did he get the fights, he got paid. He made big money on a bunch of these fights. He does have that incredible win over Teofimo Lopez, that wild, wild night at the Garden, which was amazing, which is, that's a legendary night for him. But in terms of his career, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot to hang his hat on. I agree with you. Go back to Australia, get a win, and call it a career. There's, I don't know what else you can do out there, man. Especially 140, just stay away. If you are gonna try and fight, keep going. I saw Adam Azim call him out. Like, how do you call a guy out as soon as he?
The most pathetic call out.
That's
ever.
So crazy. How do you call out a guy who just got beat the hell up for 8 rounds and stopped?
I was embarrassed by that call out, Adam Azim. Yeah. You should be fined, but the BBOC should fine you for that call out. That is pathetic.
Dirty work.
The guy, like, what? You don't get any credit from that, man. Like, the guy just, like, the body ain't even cold yet. And you're calling him out? Like, come on. But even, like, the two wins that Camposos had to put him into title contention were split decisions. Mickey Bay and Lee Selby.
Yeah, that Lee Selby fight was very arguable. Mickey Bay, he needed a last round knockdown. And Mickey Bay was, like, 37 at the time. But both guys were former world champions, so he has wins over two former world champions to get the shot. But, yeah, I mean, the guy had a rabbit's foot in his boot.
No, he had a lot going for him, man. He had one spectacular night. He had a country behind him. He's got the look. I mean, I've mm-hmm. been around him. He's got aura for a little tiny guy. He's got the neck tats. He's got the sound clips. You know, him saying that he has killers on deck was one of the funniest things I've heard in a while. Like, they put 50 Cent's Many Men behind it. It was like he's selling fights that aren't even pay-per-views. Like, he had people thinking he was going to win. Like, when I put out my pick of Hitchin stoppage, a bunch of people were like, dude, Cambos is going to win this fight, man. He wants it more. I was like, oh, God.
What does that mean? That's actually exactly what he didn't have on fight night. He definitely didn't want it. That was the biggest difference in this fight than I've seen from George, because George is a heart. You know, he's tough. He's durable normally. He looked like he didn't want to be there at all. He looked after the first round, he was like, ah, it's going to be a really hard night. I don't really want to be here. And he wasn't in it. He didn't show that ferocity that he's shown in the past. He didn't show that heart to keep trying. He didn't show that little engine that could kind of energy. If anything, Juan was the opposite of what he brought.
Yeah, and Hitchens wanted it, and good for him, because I believe he needed a stoppage win to kind of put his career into the next level. Because I feel like he has a major chip on his shoulder, Hitchens. I see him show up to events, and you know, he wants to be seen so desperately, wants to be validated desperately, he wants validation from fans and media, and he wants that respect. And you got the respect because you beat a name and you did what you were supposed to do. And now you're in a very good spot with these other fighters in the division. But I think he's dangerous, man. I think he's really dangerous. I want to see him against Haney at 140. I want to see him against Teofimo. If Matias beats Puelo, I'm not saying he will, because that's a pick'em fight, in my opinion. Like a Matias versus Hitchens.
Good fight.
Unification. Puncher versus boxer. That's a good style matchup. He makes for good fights. Hitchens, because of his style. I just want to see in like these other fights, like he talked about when he did fight.
Well, he makes for good match. He makes for interesting matchups. They don't always equate to good fights, but they make for interesting matchups with particular certain guys.
Correct. If he's matched with some of the punchers in there, like I don't think Teofimo versus Hitchens is a necessarily fun fight. Or Haney.
Neither is Haney. Haney and Hitchens is not a fun fight. They're gonna match which tactically. When I used to spar with Richardson, it was a jab contest. Both of us were long, both of us were tall, both of us were good jabbers, and we were playing chess at the highest level, and we were in a tiny-ass ring. Saddam's gym in Brooklyn is like the smallest ring. So you got two giant 140-pounders, two guys with 72-plus-inch reaches, and we're just matching wits for jabs. You know, that was every sparring session we ever had. Pretty boring stuff, not going to lie. High-level stuff, but it was extremely, extremely tactical. That's how I think that we're going to see the Haney fight. And possibly even the Teofimo fight.
Speaking of small rings, Camboso's dad kind of dropped a bomb that July 12th, the Ring 3 card will be in an 18x18 ring.
Hmm. Interesting. Paulie Malignaggi last week said to make the ring smaller for the Riot.
Listen, man, we're like all these creators, and I'm not saying Paulie's a creator, but all these people with a mic in front of them that talk boxing. We want to make the sport better. It's what the biggest, one of the biggest talking points right now is how to get rid of running and boxing and blah, blah, blah. And we're throwing out ideas. Like your idea that I posted on Twitter about let's incentivize these guys was received very well. And a bunch of people are like, no, you can't do that. We're just throwing stuff out there. Like we're having conversations. Me and you, which me and my bud talking boxing. And we're trying to come up with ideas. We're trying to come up with solutions. So a smaller ring is not out of the question here because there's only X amount of ways you can make for exciting fights. Smaller ring, incentivize them, take away money, penalties. Smaller ring now.
I love that Turkey is taking these risks and these chances. Like he's trying things. I think that's so cool and innovative. He listens, obviously. He's seeing. He's like, oh, you know, he's being smart because he's listening to the experts and taking in what they're saying. He's also listening to the fans and what their reactions are to things. And he's trying
watching this podcast.
And he's trying it. I love it. I love what he's doing. I mean, he's making the big fights. He's trying to make the sport better by making these little adjustments the way that he is. And you know, he's able to do it. Shoot, I'm here for it.
18 by 18 ring, Zepeda Shakur. Interesting.
I will say this as a boxer, as someone who competed at the highest level and was known as a boxer, the ring size, it's a certain skill set you have to learn, but it really doesn't matter.
You figure out how to
cut angles. You figure out how to fight in a circle. You figure out knowing how far much further you can back. And it just comes from awareness and being in the ring. You know, I fought Ruslan in a super tiny ring. And it didn't work out for me in the first round, but it worked out for every other round. So once you figure it out, there is a way to box smart in a small ring, but it does create more contact. It does create, you have to have a deeper endurance. You have to have a deeper gas tank. So I like it. You're a good boxer. You can box in a small ring. Trust me, but it's going to be more contact and you got to know how to do it. And so I'm all for it.
I still think Shakur is going to win, but yeah, now you had me thinking that like, all right, there's going to be some tense moments in this fight. That's all I've ever wanted
more
to
contact.
See. In a,
yep.
All I've ever wanted to see in a Shakur fight is tense moments. He's so damn good that you don't get any tense moments because his defense is number one in the sport. So if this makes it a little bit more interesting and you can control the sides of the ring, which is kind of crazy, you know, what other sport can you just like change the dimensions,
the diameters and the parameters of how the sport is contested? Only boxing.
Baseball, you can, the walls are all different. Yankee Stadium
can't change a diamond. You can't
get the short porch, but it's still 60 feet 6 inches the first, still 90 feet around them bases. Got the green monster and left at Fenway, it's short. Baseball, basketball, it's 106, maybe something like that, foot floor. Football,
10 foot rim,
yards, 10 foot rim. Boxing, we're gonna adjust the ring. We're going to mess with the gloves. We're going to do everything we can.
Dan, has there ever been like a short Kings basketball league where, you know, like an 8 foot rim?
I'm cold, bro. I did see that on Instagram. I saw that on Instagram. There was a bunch of guys playing pickup on an 8 foot rim. And it looked like they were having the time of their lives.
Yeah, short Kings league. That's
they're throwing up lobs, alley-oops, dunking.
I can dunk. I'm 5'8" and I can dunk.
I don't know if you had a court or net outside of your house. We had one, and it wasn't the one that adjusts like on its own.
Mm-hmm.
You had to take nuts and bolts out, and every once in a while
you could literally just push it. Yeah,
no, we didn't have that one. The Canobios didn't have that one. We had the other one. It was set for 10, and it was bolted in. But every once in a while, I'd be like, Dad, can we please lower the net? Yeah. And he'd be like, why? Why do you want to do that? I was like, I don't know. I just want to mess around. So we'd lower it, get it down to like 7 feet, 7.5, and me and my short brothers were just dunking. And that was like the best day of the year. And then I went back to reality.
I had one in my driveway, and my dad, he's such a weird, like, for no reason athletic. Like he's just like, he never played any sports, never really did anything. Just like, just a working man. And I remember he'd come home and he would jump off the, you know, his truck. He drove like one of those big payloaders, and he'd come home from work. He'd jump down off the truck wearing his boots, you know, and like wearing these giant work boots, dirty, you know, like, hey, throw it a ball. And he would shoot like half court shot and drain it. Like out of nowhere, I'll be like, "I'm like, really, Dad? What the hell was that?"
Post your ass up.
I still got it. I'm like, Dad, you never had it.
He's tall.
He is tall. My dad is tall.
Pop Algieri is a tall guy.
But he was athletic too. He was oddly athletic for no reason and didn't use it for anything. But
oh man, I want to play some hoops. I want to get out there and shoot around. Maybe I'll do that later on.
Basketball's fun. Be careful, though, man.
Good workout.
You're getting old, dude. The Achilles.
Bro, that's my number one fear.
The Achilles?
Yeah. When I was working at John Boy and they had us in that freaking warehouse, I could do blitzball because there's no running.
Yeah.
It's barely any moving. They had us doing all these other sports this right before I left the company. They had, you know, we're playing European handball, deck hockey. And I'm looking at Trevor Plouffe, who played in the majors around, he's my age, Trevor Plouffe, played 10 years in the majors. And I'm like, bro, I'm really afraid of a fucking Achilles. Like, it's in my head. Like, I feel my calf
everything
tighten up.
Everything explosive, any kind of sprinting. It's why people don't do it when they get older, because it's just like your tendons just, they don't have the same flexibility. Your muscles are just as strong, but the tendons are not as flexible. So the muscle will fire just like it used to, and the tendon's a little tighter than it used to.
No.
Pop! And
the
then you're out for
I
6 months.
Is that rehabilitation for deck hockey?
No.
Yeah, so I'm not playing basketball today. I'm going to...
talk yourself out of it.
Talk myself out of that one. Maybe just shoot around.
Shoot around. Play horse. You can play horse. You don't have to... It's not very explosive.
Also on this card on Saturday night, Andy Cruz with a really, really destructive win, which is an IBF title eliminator. He is now staring down the barrel of a Raymond Murataya fight, who Murataya was just elevated to IBF champion when Lomachenko retired. Cruz is a phenom. He's got the Olympic pedigree. He's been in the pros now for like 2 years, and he shows a little something different every time out there. And this time he was fighting off that back foot, you know, which is the pro game. You know, he's landed bombs. The guy was overmatched. I don't know how he got himself into an IBF title eliminator, but that's the IBF for you. But Andy Cruz was meant to look good in this fight, and he did. And a Cruz Murataya fight. That's good stuff. That's the good stuff.
I'm very high on Andy Cruz. I really like the trajectory that he's made and the maturity that I've seen from the pro ranks. He's transitioning really, really well. He's now with the Philadelphia guys, Ennis. That team over there, I think that's a really good matchup, because you got someone who's so technically sound, and then you just got to settle down a little bit, slow the pace a little bit, set things up, drop that weight into that right hand or that left hand. And we saw that the way he followed up with those shots, man, just beautiful, beautiful work. He had a really tough guy in front of him. You know, we didn't know a whole lot about him. I'm like, does Andy stop this guy? You know, that's kind of the question. And we're seeing more and more. The power is real. He's setting things up really nicely. He's becoming like a Lomachenko type guy. I think we're going to see more knockouts from him as he progresses and matures into the pro ranks. But his boxing IQ is so high. And listen, his troll game's pretty damn good. Did you see the afterwards when he's calling out Keyshawn?
Well,
he's sitting there on his phone. Oh, it's Father's Day. I'm waiting for my son to call me. And he's like, that was some A plus level trolling.
There's an Andy Cruz Twitter account out there that no one really knows if it's really him or not. I think it's parody. That's pretty good. And he will tweet a bunch of it at Keyshawn, and he'll say stuff. I'm pretty sure this isn't him. It only has 4,600 followers, but then again, Cruz isn't the biggest name, but yeah, he can talk the talk. He has no problem trying to little brother or son Keyshawn, but Keyshawn's at 140. Cruz is at 135. Don't see that happening anytime soon. Would love to see it.
But I think it's so smart on his to kind of, you know, tag onto Keyshawn's star at this point. You know, this guy's only got six fights, so I get it. But it's entertaining. But listen, that Murataya, I was talking to Robert Garcia about that today, because Robert trains Raymond Murataya, and I was asking him, like, you know, how far away is that? How are you guys already thinking about it? And he goes, oh, it might not be next. And he's like, but you know, it's definitely on the docket. We're definitely looking. It's a little early yet, but I think that's the fight to make, and I think it's a really good fight. We talked about it last show.
Yeah, they're going to order it. IBF's going to order it, and it's going to go to purse bid, because it's not a huge fight. It's going to go to purse bid, and Matchroom will bid on it. Top Rank will bid on it, and whoever wins will get the fight. I mean, at least that's how it should happen, because Cruz is not going any up to 140 or anything anytime soon. He's not taking on. He doesn't have any like mega fights that he can choose from, because he's a smaller name. Say they go Murataya. he's struggling to get some notoriety in the sport, and that would be a really fun fight. I think the fans would be into that one, and I would. And in 135, you got Tank there. I don't see Tank fighting Morataya anytime soon. Tank is on his own wavelength. He's gonna be fighting Lamont Roach, and then who knows what Tank does after that. So 135 is interesting now because it's completely changed. It's open. Like you have Shakur as well, too. Another champ. So
change overnight. Abdullah Mason is fighting for a world title. You know, he's another one of these young, hungry guys who doesn't have a huge profile. That's the thing about not having a big profile. There's no one in there other than Gervonta, obviously, but he said he's already in his own orbit. But none of those guys are going to turn down fights. Like they all need the fights. You know, Abdullah Mason will fight Morataya. He will fight Andy Cruz. Andy Cruz will fight everybody. You know, Morataya, he's another one. Like he's got a lot of wins. I think Morataya's like what, like 25-0, 30-0. He's got a lot of fights. You know, he's looking to make that big money. He's looking for that breakthrough performance. He's not a big talker, so he's gonna have to do it in the ring. Having the title now is a great bargaining chip. But I think these guys are all gonna fight each other, and that's what you want. A bunch of young champions fighting each other.
You can hope. We can hope. That's at 135.
One can hope.
Yeah, that's the card also had that Australian heavyweight, Terramona. He looked good. It was like a weird card. It was a lot of wipeouts. I think it was all seven favorites won. It was one of those cards. It wasn't like the most attended at MSG. Tough weekend. I mean, there's a lot going on here in New York. It's like summertime, and you know, Hitchens doesn't exactly sell tickets. But you know, I thought it was. It was okay. I mean, Cruz is a name, and Hitchens did his job. So that was that on Saturday night at Madison Square Garden. Did you see this, Chris? Jerron Boots Ennis is officially moving to 154 pounds. Eddie Hearn, in an interview with Fight Hype, said that he just can't do it anymore. Can't make 147. He can't fight up to his capabilities. He could probably do maybe one or two more fights there, but he wouldn't be fighting up to his capabilities. He's been long. Boots has been flirting with this move for years. Now he after the Stanionis fight, where he looked pretty bad on the scales, looked great in the ring, he's going up to 154.
I mean, we knew this was coming, right? It's unfortunate. I really wanted to see him unify at 147, but listen, you got to listen to your body. I mean, he's a big, big guy. So 47, he was not long for 47, we'll put it that way. But in terms of his performance, I spoke candidly with Prentice Brewer, who's one of the best young up-and-coming trainers today. He works with Jared Anderson. He works with Tiger Johnson. And he was telling me he's seen Boots in the gym. And he was like, dude, compared to what we see on fight night, he's not even cracking the surface. He's so much better when he's not killing himself to make the weight. So I think we're going to see a better, more dangerous version of Boots. And he's going to live up to what all the hype and potential is. But the issue is 54 is deep with killers. So how do you move into there? Is he that going to be that much better right away at 54? You know, you don't want to catch a loss just because you're growing into a weight class. So really interesting situation that Boots is going to be in, you know, because that weight class is so deep.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what it's like for him now to just go into a fight and not having to 100% worry about the weight, where you can just go in and do your thing and let your skills do the talking, and not where 80% of the energy is spent on making the weight, which is such a big component of this game. I'm sure he'll still have some problems with 154 because he's such a big guy, but yeah. I mean, but that's a big jump though. That's what my math is correct. That's 7 pounds.
Yeah, that's one of the bigger jumps. But Dan, think about this. You just said something really interesting. 80% Boots did what he did to Stanionis. That's fucking scary. You know, like he's that good. And 80% Boots is able to handle a guy like Stanionis that way. I'm shaking my head no, because I wanted him to unify, but I'm also really excited to see what Boots really has to offer when he's not so weight drained.
At least he unified once. Like he at least got that Stanionis fight, and he could say, "Hey, listen, I'm a unified champion. I didn't become undisputed, but that's because of the stop and go side of my career and the business side of things." It's a lot happened with Boots at 147. I mean, now this is a new chapter, and I really want to see what he's capable of. The Virgil Ortiz fight is always going to be there. I mean, they were circling each other at 147. Now here we are at 154. Virgil's coming off of a hand injury or some type of injury where he's, I think they're looking at a September or October. Did you hear anything from Garcia there?
I didn't know. I'll ask okay. when I talk to him.
Because I did float the Virgil versus Boots on the Canelo Crawford undercard, and I got a bunch of people informing me that Ortiz recently did an interview, and I forgot that he had some type of minor injury, so he might not be in that time frame to fight in September. Point being, Virgil and Boots is the fight at 154. In my opinion, you have Fundora, you have Bakram, you have Madrimov, you have Zhu, you have Boachuk, you have Xander Zayas, you have Keith Thurman, you have Jesus Ramos, you have Charles Conwell, who I still believe is in the picture. Yeah. This division is just loaded. And now you add a prime Boots Ennis to it, who sells tickets, who becomes a big time name too in that division too. So we got some big fights, and hopefully here in the States, because I know that Boots, I don't know this for sure, but I've heard some rumblings that he wasn't too keen on fighting in Saudi because he is one of the very few guys here in the States that actually sells tickets. You know, 15,000 at that where the Flyers play in the Sixers. The AC fight did really good in terms of tickets. Boots can sell tickets. So
we need ticket sellers too, though. So I'm not against him saying that he's not willing to go over there, because we need to keep our ticket sellers active. We need to keep people coming out and being consistent with that. So I'm not knocking him for saying that. And listen, the sport, we need ticket sellers. We need guys like Boots, because we don't have any stars anymore. And it's important to make sure those guys stay busy, stay regular, so fans will keep coming out. So I understand what he's saying by not wanting to go to Saudi. But listen, man, that check comes big enough, she'd be jumping on that plane.
Well, we were just talking about how Turkey, you know, they're getting into this game deeper and deeper, and they're adjusting certain things. I think they're looking at what guys sell and what guys don't. So if someone like Boots can sell in the U.S., then we should keep it in the U.S. and put all the Riyadh stuff and make it still have a presence with the sponsorships and whatnot, but have it in the U.S. You know, guys like Teofimo, he's not a ticket seller. I mean, he'll fight over overseas. And like Better BF Bivol, I don't think there's maybe, but you know, it's just one example of that fight. It doesn't necessarily have to be here in the U.S. Two Russians fighting.
But that fight probably would have never happened if it wasn't for Turkey and Riyadh,
because
there was no market for that to pay those guys what they deserve, because they are the consummate one and two best of the division.
What's going on with that? Like, they're fighting a third time, right?
Last I checked, which I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard any news about that. That was something that was so hot for so long. No, I'm not either. I mean, as soon as I heard there wasn't going to be David Benavidez, I was like, eh.
How much more excited would you be if you knew in September or October this fall we were getting Benavidez Bivol at 175?
No, it would be one of the biggest fights on the calendar. And now they're fighting their rubber match, but there's no wind in the sails anymore. So yeah, no, the Benavidez fight was the fight to make. And like I said, as soon as that wasn't announced, I was like, eh, all right. I mean, cool. They're going to go make a lot of money together. Good for them. But Benavidez was the fight to make.
Yeah, I still think we get it. Benavidez, apparently Callum Smith are close to some type of agreement.
I like that fight too. That's a good fight.
Really good fight. So we were just talking about Ennis going to 154. One of the names at 147 who has a title is Brian Norman, and he's fighting this weekend, or fighting on Thursday, early in Japan, Thursday morning, Dan Canobio's birthday, no big deal. He's fighting Jin Sasaki June 19th from Japan. Good for you, Brian Norman. Get that bag. You famously turned down Boots because you said there were other stuff out there, or they priced you out, or this, that, and the other. But now you got Jin Sasaki, who is a puncher, you said. What's the 411 on Jin Sasaki, for those that don't know?
Yeah, I've called him actually for Top Rank International before. I think I've called him at least once, maybe twice, but I've seen a bunch of his fights when I was preparing, you know, for the call. Man, he is just a aggressive two-fisted puncher who's looking to hurt you at all costs. I mean, he's right in front of you. He's a warrior. He's got a very good left hook. Watch out for the left hook to the head and to the body. That's really the punch that he wants to land. If he hurts you at the right, stay down, because the left hook is a shot. But he can punch with both hands. Good body puncher, consummate warrior. But he's more of like, I'm going to put my forehead on your forehead, come forward, meet you in your corner, and bang away until you're not there. Gets hit. Very exciting. Interesting fight, because the guy can punch. And so can Norman. But I think Norman needs to be smart, get on his jab, fight at a distance. Don't get into a war with this guy, because that's this guy's shot. Is Sasaki is to get you into a war and just beat you out attrition, out punch you. I think he has 17 KOs and his 19 wins. Has a loss to Andy Hiroka at 140, but he didn't make weight. He was killing himself to make the 140. Since he's moved up to 47, he's shown a great gas tank and much and actually punches harder at 47. So he's much more of a welterweight than he was, you know, when he was fighting at 40. And Hiroka's very good. Hiroka's an excellent, excellent fighter. One of the more dangerous.
Barroso.
Yeah, one of the more dangerous guys at 140. He's a guy who should be entering the mix with all these other guys we talked about. But this is a good solid fight. Good solid scrap. We're going to get to see what Brian Norman can do with a puncher.
Yeah, since that loss to Hiroka, he's reeled off 7 straight wins. He's got one stoppage, 2 stoppages, 3 stoppages, 4 stoppages, 5 stoppages, 6 stoppages for Sasaki.
No, he can punch.
And we know Norman can punch. I'm excited.
That's a good fight.
Worked myself in. Yeah, this is a good fight. The odds are I'm in favor of Norman, but not huge. -650 in today's boxing world is considered a pretty close fight. Sasaki +425. Norman by KO is what the books think at -115. Norman by decision +170. Sasaki by stoppage +700.
Wow. I wouldn't listen. So throwing a hundo on that, throwing a Benny on there. I don't know. That's not a bad idea, because Sasaki can punch, and we haven't really seen Norman with this kind of guy. You know, if he can do what I think he can based on his skills, you know, he should go out there and handle Sasaki, and he should win. And Vegas line is right. Win. But
I mean,
what happens if he gets cracked? What happens if he gets hurt? And Sasaki is the kind of guy
we watch.
If he does, exactly, that's what we watch, and that's why this actually is a good, entertaining fight.
Yeah, so it's got the whole allure of the early morning Japanese wake up. It's not in a way, but it is a young American fighter. I'll be watching. He has recently called out, Brian Norman has recently called out Devin Haney at 147. So, you know, I don't know what make of that, what you will. I'm getting a little tired of the call outs. I used to fall for them.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of like Haney and Teofimo, to be dead honest with you.
Talking
is great for us. Like, we're in the business of reacting to what these guys do. But just, I have fatigue when it comes to Haney.
I want them to back it up, though. Like, don't, like, you're going to talk all this trash and then not whip anybody's ass. That's the problem. Like,
not even whip his ass. We're talking all this trash just to get into the ring.
Yeah, that too. But then when they do it, the fight's not that interesting. It's, you know. That too.
So. Not with these 18x18 rings. Haney says he's all for them.
Okay. Well, Haney understands. You can still box in a small ring. You just got to be really on your P's and Q's.
Yeah. You have to put up with a lot. Like, I think that's why some fans just turn away. It's just like they can't deal with the constant back and forth. And then eventually, like, Haney has a great resume. Like, but you just have to deal with a lot of crap right to the lead up of them actually getting into the ring. Like the Ryan and Haney thing was a saga for them just to get into that ring. Haney trying to get Teofimo.
But that worked out. That was actually a really good fight. And it was a fun, entertaining fight.
Right.
And a huge spectacle.
If you can get past all the other stuff, then yeah. Yeah, I like this fight. Norman is probably going to stay around at 147. Now, it's interesting how when Boots leaves, like, is Haney now going to be a full-blown welterweight? Is Norman going to stick around? Is he going to fight Barrios if he beats Pacquiao? Some guy's got to move up from 140 to 147. But I like this fight. I like Norman. The Norman stoppage, that's a pretty good number, -115. Like, you're going to have to put up a lot more to win back. It's not like it's plus money. Sasaki can punch, but like you said, coming up for 140 gives me a little bit of pause, because I think Norman's big, right? Norman's a bigger.
Yeah. He's heavily built, thick for the weight class.
Strong dude. He's a strong American puncher. Like,
and he's coming into his own. For him. If you look at his record on the way up, like, he wasn't the kind of puncher that he is now. As he stepped up in class and kind of grown into his mature body, his mature welterweight body, he's starting to knock guys out. So, it's a good shootout. This is a shootout between two punchers. So, but I think Norman, who is crisper and has more boxing, a little more higher IQ, can use that to his advantage and likely gets the stoppage, but know, we'll see.
24 years old since the Santillan win, which put him on Santillan. The map. I fucked that up bad. I gringoed the hell out of that.
Gringo. Santillan.
I'll take the huevos rancheros, please. And not too spicy. Giovanni, what is it? Say it again.
Santillan.
Santillan. He, since that win, that was like his coming out party. That was May of 2024.
I thought he was going to lose that was impressive.
It was. And he was not supposed to win that. I think he was the underdog because Santillan was coming off of a nice win over Rocha.
Yes. Yes.
And he had some momentum and then Norman took it because that's what you could do in the sport. And then he sat out for a while, had some injuries. He came back with that impressive, or not, I shouldn't say impressive, but he walked right over Derek Cuevas. He had the boots, failed negotiation, which did not make him look great. And now he's back, and now he's fighting for the second time in 3 months. And now he should get this bag, the Japanese bag, and now look to unify. We're 1 month out from Pacquiao Barrios. Norman, you're fighting. You're on the same wavelength here. We haven't seen you fight too much. You're an American champion. The sport, we need American champions. They're failing us left and right. What do you got? We want to see what you got and if you could run with it. And it was once a glamour division. Like, there's some fights out there at 147, and he's a puncher. So I'm rooting for this kid.
Oh, me too.
U.S.
Me
boxing
too.
Needs it.
Yeah, me too. And I think he's got a perfect foil in front of him with Sasaki to put on an entertaining fight, probably get the stoppage, and then look to fight the winner of that Barrios match. Look to unify 147. And listen, Stanionis is still lying in the weeds there, man. He's still a dangerous guy for 147. He didn't seem like he struggled to make the weight, so I think he's going to stay at 47. He was the number two guy when Geron beat him. So, yeah, he took a bad loss. He got stopped, but he can come back and jump right back in the mix. I wouldn't mind seeing a Norman and Stanionis matchup. I think that stylistically, that's a fun one. Barrios.
And the belts
all those fights are actually fun. Barrios, Norman, Stanionis. There's a bunch of fun fights.
There's a... the belts are going to be dispersed. The Boots' belts are going to become vacant. So Norman is in a great spot right
great
now.
Great spot. They played their cards, their hand really well.
You got to give them credit. I remember we did our episode and we were like, this is a mistake. You had a chance to fight Boots and they gambled.
Yes.
And it doesn't always work out. They didn't get the Boots fight, but what they have now is a Japanese fight, which I'm sure he's going to get paid a really nice amount. Now Boots leaves the division. Now you have like Pacquiao kind of like
the looming Pacquiao's over in the orbit. Like, come on.
Somehow. And then you have like Haney coming up who like, it's not like he's going to beat your ass. I mean, you're going to have a good fight with Haney. I think Norman, it's all there for him. So I hopefully he wins on, I don't root for anybody win or lose. For the sake of U.S. boxing, I want to see this guy win a fight. Not U.S. boxing, but he is an American. He is a citizen of ours. He's a friend of ours. Nonito Donaire, before we say goodbye in this episode, he picked up a win. He got in a win comp, 42 years old. He was looking good in there. He was landing his patented left hook. A lot of headbutts, a lot of cuts. Ultimately, the fight was stopped because of the cuts, and then he won on the cards. Donaire, it's his first win since December 2021. That was over Gabayo. So now he's the mandatory challenger for the primary WBA title holder in Antonio Vargas, who I called one of his fights on MVP. He was a hard-nosed young fighter. So I guess his next fight, Donaire is going to be fighting for the WBA bantamweight title at 42.
I mean, Donaire's one of those guys. He's one of the few living active legends we have in the sport. So you see a guy like him or a guy like Pacquiao when they can just step back into the rankings, and fight. Like, I kind of get it though, because I mean, it is Nonito, but man, doing his thing, 42 years old, still making it happen.
Power is still there. Fast hands. Footwork wasn't, I'll tell this, even if it was right in front of me, like he didn't have the same footwork and I didn't expect him to. He's 42. So, but he still made the weight and he's still giving these guys problems. I mean, He still has the fire burning in him too, which is like number one thing I think you need. He still has that fire.
And the belief. And we'll see. He believes in himself. He believes in his skill set. He believes that he still got it. He believes that he's not aging. So more power to him, man. I'm always rooting for the older guys, especially when they're especially when they're my friends.
Right. Especially I got to text them. He's going to go the title. I guess he wants the title fight. He originally wanted to fight Chocolatito. And Chocolatito said,
he's calling him out.
Right, and because he wanted that, if I'm going to come back, it's got to be a big fight for big money, which I agree. And he called out Chocolatito, tried to make it. Chocolatito said, no, I'm still trying to go for titles. Over the weekend, Estrada fought.
Yeah,
at 118. Estrada versus Donaire would be freaking awesome. There's not title on the line, but it's like it's like a profile fight. So I'm curious where Nonito goes here. Does he say, hey, I have this title shot. How many more fights do I want? Or do I want to go out with a higher profile type of fight against maybe a Chocolatito or Juan Francisco Estrada? So we'll see.
That's a legends versus legend fight. Estrada and Chocolatito are both legends. Nonito's a legend. It's mean, but they're both still high level. So all three of them are still high level.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, that is our episode this week. We'll be back later on in the week. We'll recap the Brian Norman fight. And then we will preview what we got going on this weekend. I haven't looked at the boxing schedule, but we'll be back later on in the week with some more news and notes. Chris, do you have anything for the peoples?
No, man. Just make sure. Don't forget. Set your alarms. Go watch the fight on Thursday morning. Japanese, the morning boxing and breakfast. You don't want to miss that. I think it's actually going to be a good fight. So.
Yeah, can't wait to see it. That is all from us. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. See you next time.